Welcome to Midlife Bites. This is the podcast that tells the truth about how midlife bites, why it bites, and what happens after it bites. I'm Kirsten Bowes, clinical psychologist, midlife mentor, and someone who believes midlife isn't a crisis. Well, maybe it is a bit. At the very least, it's a reckoning. But it's also an invitation to your reclamation. Here you'll find real talk, real stories, and the kind of conversations that make you feel less alone and more like yourself. And heads up, I get a little bit sweary sometimes, so tune in if you do too, or at least don't get offended if you hear a few choice words. Sometimes it's just me, sometimes it's me chatting with a guest, but either way, it's always going to be raw, relatable, and real. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk All About Her. As you would have heard, we do want to spend the whole time talking about her, talking about you, the woman navigating the menopausal transition. Or if that's not your story, then thanks for tuning in, because I hope that means you're listening so that you can better understand the transition experience that perhaps a loved one or someone you work with, someone that you actually care about, is going through. And I am really excited that perhaps that's the reason why you're tuning in. We've had lots and lots of fabulous episodes. All the people that come onto our podcast are all about herb health professionals from a range of health professions. And, you know, that's really how All About Her has been set up. We want to bring allied health practitioners together because we know that as women navigate the menopausal transition, they have different needs that are served by different health professionals or health disciplines. We can't do it all as psychologists, and as such, I really wanted to bring other professionals into play so you can hear from them too. But today we have Dr. Sarah Davenport, clinical psychologist, returning. Now, she, if you've listened to these in order, then she, you would have heard her episode dropped last week. If not, you can certainly go back and have a listen to it, where we basically, I really just introduced Sarah to you all and heard a little bit about her professional journey and where she's at kind of work-wise now. But yeah, I've brought her back because she's got knowledge and wisdom and skills and experience that I want to bring to you all. So tune in, because here she is. I feel like there should be a drum roll for this one. Hi, Sarah. Thank you for coming back.
Hi, Kirsten. Thanks for having me.
No worries. We've got a good kind of theme for today, I think. It's one that we haven't covered in too much depth today. But before I kind of, you know, we really announce what the theme is, let's just let it all unfold naturally. And the question that I like to ask, particularly for what we refer to as kind of an educational, informative episode, when I first have our members on to have this particular type of episode, is I always ask them, you know, what comes to mind when you hear the word menopause? What's the first thing that springs to your mind?
It has to be change. I mean, change in all sorts of ways across the board. I think change in terms of how women feel about themselves, how they feel about other parts of their life, you know, change in terms of, you know, how they approach their well-being and approach things in their life. You know, it really is a time of huge transition where all of the rules get thrown out and we then have to write our own.
Yeah, exactly. And that can be the scary and also really frustrating kind of part, I think, of this experience. And it's interesting because it used to be commonly referred to as the change, didn't it? Mm. You know, and mm. It's both perfect, because it, you know, menopause is exactly that, a massive change, as you said, in so many ways. But I think it's got some old-fashioned connotations to it now, if we refer to the change. Yeah. And there's probably just merit in using the correct terms for what mm. we're talking. But I guess within the context of the changes, that are so, overt, obvious, and then those that are deep and hard to often describe, with all the women that you have worked with and that you continue to work with as they navigate this life experience and therefore are faced with these changes, what are some of the common things that, again, come to mind that you see that they raise with you that they are wanting support?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a whole lot of parts of their mental health which people notice a big shift in, whether it's mood changes, anxiety. Women will talk about their stress being kind of out of control, this really raw experience for them. Irritability, rage, let's call it rage, not anger. Just that overwhelming fatigue and exhaustion, joint pain, muscle pain. I think, some of those more subtle things like losing a sense of themselves or a sense of identity, losing a sense of confidence, and just like a lot of self-doubt that kind of starts to permeate all parts of their lives. The indecision, cognitive fog, brain fog. I think they're probably the main ones. I mean, most of my clients will turn up and they will just say, whatever of those symptoms they're experienced, but then they'll just say, I know myself and I'm not myself right now. I don't know what's going on, but I don't feel like myself anymore. And it's really profoundly unsettling for them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, we have had many conversations that we haven't recorded around this. And we were just kind of saying early, I guess, that, apart from the fact that that's one of the most common phrases, like, I don't know who I am, I don't know myself, they're very, very common phrases. But I guess at the same time, there can be resistance to change. Because none of that you just mentioned sounds particularly pleasant. Maybe there's some people who can embrace it from the get-go with open arms and, think, wow, awesome, this is going to be a great roller coaster ride that I'm looking forward to. But certainly my own personal experience and working with the women that I work with, it's a long time before you can even have necessarily that thought, that approach. There's a lot almost that has to happen before you can start saying, okay, maybe this change could be positive in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, definitely. And I think really it starts to just come out of, the women are hit with all of these symptoms, and there's this feeling of, I just can't do life in the way that I have been. It doesn't work. I can't keep up. I can't work the way I used to, or I can't keep going the way I used to, or I feel dreadful and things need to kind of change. I need more help. But, there, and then it's only over time that, I think women start to gain a sense of confidence around, I don't have to keep doing things as I used to. Maybe I could do things differently in a way that serves me. And as women, we're conditioned to be generous and to give, to show up for other people, to make a contribution, to really be selfless in so many parts of our life. And then, there's this desire of wanting to take back, and ask for support at times. And I know you and I have talked before about, whilst that can be a really empowering experience for a lot of women, it also can be a really tough one. Often the people around us or the systems around us are impatient or unsupportive or intolerant of that change. They've been used to things working in one direction for such a long time. And I think for a lot of my clients, there's usually this period that really difficult, time of real grief and loss as they kind of come to realize that maybe the generosity that they've shown other people or the support that they've given is not going to be reciprocated or hasn't been reciprocated in a way that maybe they would have expected in their relationships. And that goes from kind of their personal relationships as well as maybe their workplace. But also, I see another, women sort of have this grief and loss too around these moments in time where they chose to keep going and to push through and to keep giving, and maybe, a sense of regret around that, or, this sense that maybe that they abandoned themselves in some really critical moments in their life where they kind of deserved care or needed support and were not given that. And, that's a pretty tough thing to reckon with.
I'd love to hear more about the experience or how you conceptualize abandoning oneself. I mean, my head goes straight to Glennon Doyle. She talks a lot about that particular tamed. And I remember being, smacked in the face with that concept when I read it. And I certainly agree with you that as women, we are absolutely. I mean, we're pretty talented at it, at being generous and looking out for and looking after others. It's something that we do often without question. And yeah, it's a tricky thing for us when we get to the stage, I think, of not being able to do that, maybe not even wanting to do that as much anymore. And that can be a confront. The fact want to.
Well, I
And
think both can be, yeah, it's a funny idea, isn't it? I think that can be confronting to not want to do that, but it's important to also acknowledge that all of that generosity that we've shown and support that we've given other people, the contributions that we've made to our communities, like what a beautiful thing that is. Like, of course, there's a double-edged to it that, maybe it hasn't served us at times, but it is something that women, often offer that is something I think that we can take a lot of strength and esteem from as well. Yeah, it's easy to kind of look back and start to feel quite negatively and resentfully about, those choices that we've made. But I think it's important that we hold, both things can be true, right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I mean, I guess I often work with women who, have kind of curated that life. I mean, it's far from perfect, but a lot of the parts of their life they've wanted, and a lot of the way they've been, they've genuinely wanted. I think the disorientation comes when it's like, oh, that life doesn't quite fit me anymore. And yes, that level of, kind of pervasive generosity, I'm not as capable of that anymore because I've got all this stuff going on for me through this. So, perhaps I don't want to give so much of myself because I'm at a stage where I want to keep some of it, or as you said, kind of take back some of that. And I think that is very disorienting. And it can lead women to want to not want to move forward, to want to kind of go back. I want to go back to who I was. I do hear that quite a bit at times, and it can be a challenge.
Yeah, and a sense that getting through menopause means getting rid of the symptoms and going back to who you were. And that might be the journey for some people, but not the majority, I would say.
So again, let's come back to abandoning oneself. I really want to hear more when I imagine you've got just this, template in your head of all the conversations that you've had with clients over the period of time, where you've noticed this. So what do you mean by that?
I mean, things that are coming to mind are times where, if people have been through difficult early life experiences where they felt that they had no voice, That then they can kind of relive that experience, or there's some real similarities in this moment in time where maybe they're saying there's something wrong, there's something going on, I don't feel like myself, but that's maybe not landing in the way that they expected. I can think of, women who have had, I mean, endometriosis is a really classic example, right? We know that it's what, on average, 7 years before somebody gets a diagnosis of endometriosis. And so I've certainly had clients who have said, it took 7 years for me to get that diagnosis. I'm not waiting 7 years for the diagnosis of perimenopause. I know this is happening, even though maybe my GP says I'm too young, or the blood tests look fine, or my husband says I need to just rest more, or I'm overdoing it, or it's been a busy time at work, whatever. There's this sense of, I know myself. I'm not going to let that happen to me again. And sometimes that can bring up grief about, those earlier experiences,
If only I had have had a diagnosis. If only I had have stood up for myself more. If only,
Yeah, if only I'd questioned that doctor, if I'd asked for that extra test, or if I insisted that actually, things are not right, or that's not quite the answer.
And they arrive at a point where I guess those regrets exist. At the same time, it sounds like you get to see women, that it lays a foundation for them to be far more assertive and proactive and really, really back themselves.
I think the other story that I hear commonly is, women who have given a lot to their family, or they've put the things aside that they've wanted for their partners, or for their, aging parents, or for their children, and then feel like, I did that then, and I'm okay with that, but I'm not doing that now. So there's a bit of kind of, and the other thing is probably too the neglect maybe of their physical, emotional needs earlier on. And so I hear a lot of women say that too, that, I haven't been looking after myself all these years. I've been prioritizing other things, whether it's financial stability or their education or whatever it might be. And, all of a sudden they've kind of hit the wall with their symptoms, and there's some grief and loss around. I wish I had respected my body and what it needed, or I wish I had treated myself better, nurtured myself in a way that I needed to back then, because now that's, I feel like I'm, on the receiving end of some of those years where I haven't cared for myself as maybe I should have.
Paying the price. I remember my naturopath saying, perimenopause is the reckoning. It's where everything that all the ways you haven't looked after yourself, really come to life and become unavoidable in a way that you have previously managed to avoid. And I certainly, that fits my own experience, and it definitely many women I speak with.
I think that's what's hard about not knowing, it not being maybe very clear when perimenopause is starting for lots of women. So I've heard lots of women who are, maybe like 4, 5, 6, 7 years into perimenopause and saying, now I can look back and see when it started. And I wish I had laid the foundations of, some of my healthcare routines, or, my exercise regime, or whatever it would have been, because now that I'm experiencing all sorts of symptoms, it's so much harder to try to put in place some of those things. So I've heard that a lot. I mean, I'm at the very start of my perimenopause journey, and I feel very lucky to be having all these conversations with friends, with clients, with healthcare professionals, because I feel like, just for my friends who are 5 years older than me, let alone those who are 10, 15, 20 years older, they didn't, there wasn't that this conversation happening then, and they feel like they kind of missed the start of things and are now playing catch up. I hear that all the time from my friends.
Yeah, I actually have heard that a fair bit when I've spoken to community groups, and often there's a wide range of women. Sorry, there's women there with a wide range of ages, and some of the Q&A or the comments that come up after the workshop are very much tinged, I guess, with regret around, yes, I wish I had have recognized it sooner. A lot of women in their kind of late 50s, early 60s plus, I've heard many times how angry they are that, that Women's Health Initiative study just, meant that they were never offered any kind of support, to navigate these years. So a lot of them feel very, very, very ripped off that that just wasn't available to them.
Well,
And
and missed out on the benefits that they could be reaping now, right? In terms of their cardiovascular health, their bone health, their brain health. It's really hard to hear that, they weren't offered it or they were taken off it at that time, because of the so-called risks and, what the worry about the impact of that decision now.
And some of them really also attribute the challenges of the menopausal transition that they weren't educated and informed and appropriately supported through to have ongoing impacts on their relationships. So relationships with adult children having not gone so well, or partners, marriages ending, leaving the workforce, like all of these. Not just the internal experience of, I didn't get the support that I needed, and so it was really, really rough, and I don't get the long-term health benefits that would have otherwise been available to me, but also like things that you can't come back from as well in the external their world, the context in which they live. And yeah, it is why it's so important for us to just keep talking about this widely. Sometimes I kind of think, gosh, I just talk about this too much to too many people. And then I'm reminded that, still the vast majority of people don't understand, know about this life stage, let alone understand it, let alone know where to seek help.
Well, yeah, I feel like we're kind of at a point where we're talking to women about this and women of a certain age, but really this is for everyone to hear. For partners, I hope that all of the people in our lives, men included, are listening to these conversations. And children, the number of my peers who have said to me, I now realize that in my teenage years, my mum was probably going through menopause. There were a few years where she was so irritable and angry, where life was really hard from her. And at the time, we just thought it was, cranky mum or we were difficult teenagers. But, actually something really complex and challenging was happening for her. But, the family system just kind of kept on, there's no accommodation of that. And this is something we all need to know about.
I like the word accommodation that you just used, because I think there's so much that needs to happen in, in our family systems and our, friendship circle and our workplaces, and, at a far broader level socially, to be able to accommodate these life stages, this life experience, so much more. I don't know what the answer, the answer are. I mean, I certainly think ensuring that education, accurate information, accessible healthcare from health-informed practitioners, like that's a bottom line. And education of all ages, all, genders, just the whole shebang, humans, really. That's what we need to aim for, I think, in the next maybe decade. Ideally, we'd be able to start thinking accommodation even at a far broader level, just mentioned. But, hopefully that will happen. Whether it happens within my lifetime, I'm not too sure. Social change, pretty long time. But accommodation is, I think, a really, really good word. And I guess in some ways, I think about the perinatal space, which I came from. As you know, And that, you know, there was a long time when you just kind of had a baby and got on with it. The adjustment and the experience of becoming a parent, becoming a mother, wasn't really given much airtime and certainly wasn't accommodated. Obviously, we've made some changes there. So hopefully, the fact that we've laid that foundation, we can also start to recognize just how significant this life stage is, how much grief and loss is associated with it, how much regret can be associated with it, and also at the same time, how much need there is to be able to create space and accommodate the evolution and the change, the changed woman, the changing and the changed woman that somewhere down the track kind of comes to life. I think really important part of it all. And
When we talk a lot at the practice, a big cohort of clients that we see are women in their 50s, 60s who are coming and saying, I don't know why, but all of this grief and loss has come up about things that happened earlier in my life, or I've got past trauma which has never bothered me before, but all of a sudden is now coming to the forefront and impacting my life. And when you think about what we've talked about today, where there is this parallels between feeling like you have a voice, feeling voiceless or feeling disempowered, or feeling like nobody's listening or nobody cares, you can see how this really gets very complicated very quickly for people. That's such a common experience for women to come and talk about trauma for the first time in their 50s, and often with, a lot of grief and loss.
Absolutely. And you know, I know that you and I kind of understand some of the neuroscience behind it and the psychological development kind of stuff behind it. But again, for the average person out there, you know, it's just like, well, what the hell? How is it that my hormonal fluctuations creating this scenario where I'm now struggling with things that I haven't previously struggled with, or that I thought I'd laid to rest? And what I often say is that nothing, you know, there's any work you've previously done is not wasted, you know.
Absolutely.
You but we reach different life stages and it gives us a different lens to be looking at these things through. And that's what this stage is, and why sometimes, or actually probably more so often, that parts, various things in our history kind of pop up again, whether we've worked on them or not. We now have a different way of looking at ourselves and the world and the experiences that we've had and the relationships that we have, and that it's the lens that changes, which is why this emerges. So yeah, it's a
And
very
it's a long life, right? And an investment in our mental health is an investment in our physical health. Those two things are so inextricably linked. And so it's so important that as these things show up for us, as these mental health and emotional issues show up for us through this period, that we do really seek out help and work on that, because it will also benefit your physical health as well as your emotional health moving forward into the decades to come. We see that again and again with people.
Sure. And it's never too late. I think that's the other thing. It's never too late.
I hear that all the time from my clients who say, I wish my parents would come. My mum really needs to come. And I always say to them, and they say, but they're so opposed to it. And I always say, you actually never know. I mean, I've had clients come in their mid-80s to therapy for the very first time, and I say plural, like this has actually happened quite a few times in my career in private practice, which is, such a great thing to see that people taking it on and seeing its utility at all stages of life.
For sure. That just gives me goosebumps. That does. It's never
Oh, it's, yeah, such a, so, I mean, it's just great working with people at that point in their lives.
late. Yeah, for sure. Well, we could keep chatting. That'll
We
work.
will off mic,
Yeah,
Kirsten.
we will. But geez, we've covered a lot of ground in today's conversation, and what I really hope is that those who are listening and hear parts of themselves in, some of the things that we've spoken about, also hear the potential and the possibility and the opportunity that this stage, as difficult as it can be, and it really can be, that there are ways forward and through this and forward to feeling far steadier and more self-assured and okay with yourself. That is definitely available to people with the right support. So
And they're not the only ones, these are such common experiences that we're hearing all the time, and whatever they're going through deserves care and attention.
yeah, they just need attention for sure. Yeah, thank you. So yeah, thank you so much for the conversation, and I really appreciate you sharing your experience, your personal experience, your experience working with the vast kind of range of clients that you've worked with. And if anyone wants to find out more about Sarah, then you can check her out on the allaboutHerCenter.com.au website. She's also been on our Instagram page from time to time, and I will likely line her up for more conversations in our 2025 season. So yeah, definitely you will hear more from Sarah and you can find out more about her. So thank you so much again, Sarah.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Okay, wow. So I think that's episode 18 now. And we may well be done for the year, I think. Which just blows my mind, because when I not only decided to start All About Her, but more specifically, when I thought, no, I am going to do a podcast, I couldn't have imagined such a robust season of conversations. So, which is really selling the members short, because they're so such great people and have so much to offer. So I will not do that again. But thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for supporting us. As I've said before at the end of other sessions, please leave us a review. Please reach out if there's a topic you'd love us to be talking about, because I'm pretty damn sure that someone in our membership will be able to speak to that. So yeah, we want to make this helpful and interesting and hopefully as well kind of inspiring for those who are tuning in. So that is made all the more easier if we hear back from you all. So please, yes, reach out, let us know, and have a fabulous day. Thank you. You've been listening to Midlife Bites. If you liked what you heard, hit follow so you don't miss an episode. And if you have a minute, please leave a review. It really helps other women find the show. If you want to share your experience of the midlife bite, or you're an expert who can speak to the delights of it, please email me at kirsten@allaboutHerCenter.com.au and I'll be in touch. You can also head to our website, allaboutHerCenter.com.au, to find a practitioner who can support you through midlife. Or if you're a therapist, check out what's included in our health professional membership. We'd love to have you on board. Either way, remember, midlife isn't here to break you. It's here to remake you.